Dear friends, thank you for joining us another week in our Gnostic Lab for practical application. And today, we would like to work a little bit with you about on the topic of this thing that is known as transvaluation. Perhaps you have heard my insignificant person translating this for you in the past as transvalorization. Maybe that was too much of a crude translation, perhaps something that you did not deserve. So please accept our sincere apologies for that. We will continue improving on in the way that we take this wisdom from Spanish, as Samael left it for us, and translate it into English so that we can all get benefit from it. So tonight, let's talk a little bit about transvaluation. To complement this wisdom that Samael has left, we would like to share with you some information that we have gotten from transcribed lectures of Samael Aumbeor. We have this one, and we're sourcing it off the encyclopedia, the esoteric encyclopedia titled The Great Work. And this particular volume that we have tonight is called Internal Education or Interior Education. And there is a very peculiar lecture that we have gotten here from Samael that is called or titled Let There Be Light. Now, this is the fifth lecture that is transcribed in this particular volume. And these are lectures that Samael offered his advanced level students as he was working directly with them. So let's go ahead and complement the topic of transvaluation with the topic of let there be light, because the two of them are severely nested and interconnected, and there is value for you here. For the purpose of tonight's Gnostic Lab for practical application, we will give you the foundation of his knowledge, and we will leave it to you to put it into practice. Because after all, this is an effort in transvaluation. But let's start by saying, what is transvaluation? Transvaluation, if we were going to define this in a way that is very, very simplistic, transvaluation comes from two root words, tere and valera. This is to apply value, to go over and beyond the value. Transvaluation means to assign a higher worth into something. So if we come together three times a week on a weekly basis, if we are constantly hearing about the event that took place that resulted in the expulsion of so many beings off the Garden of Eden from a superior condition of consciousness, if we speak about the scientific and philosophical effect of that expulsion into what we are today as a humanity, if we speak about our need to be able to steal the fire from the dragon that is our ego, if we speak about working with our Divine Mother for the elimination of our psychological aggregates, if we speak about so many things, our occult abilities, faculties, and powers, if we speak about the awakening of the consciousness, the three factors of the revolution, of the internal revolution, coming together three times a week and covering all this, well, it will suggest that we are assigning to this some value, that we are seeing behind this something that is useful. But it would surprise you, just like it surprises many of us, that we need of a great master like Samael to tell us, behold, this is what is serious. This, because when he says this, it is that internal work. Because what happens? Most people will come through the lectures. Many people will buy books. Many others will come to the lectures and buy books and get off the internet as much information as they possibly can. On top of that, many of the people will come to the lectures, they will buy books, they will get as much information they can off the internet. They will re-listen not only to these lectures, but to the lectures of many other groups and people. And at the end of the day, they do no internal work at all. They do not put to work the teaching. And the reason they don't do that is because they do not comprehend the Gnostic esoteric work. They just don't comprehend it. There is a difference between thinking that you have to work upon yourself and actually working upon yourself. There is a difference between you thinking that you are observing yourself and observing yourself. And the difference is dramatic. It is like comparing water to thirst. See how difficult that comparison is? It is like comparing thirst to water. We do not put to work the teaching. And the reason behind that is because we have no comprehension of the Gnostic esoteric work. And as we observe closely, we can see the internal confusion. It is a confusion that is rooted deep within the mind. And within that confusion, we see the competing priorities of so many different egos. Because when we gather all this wisdom and get books, friends, we know of people who buy books. They never read them. They just buy them, but they don't read them. Come to the lectures, buy the books, do this 3 times a week, listen to other lectures from other groups, download information off the etc., etc., etc. The Gnostic esoteric work is not present because different psychological aggregates are pulling down their own ways. They are pulling in the direction of self-love. They are pulling in the direction of self-importance. They are pulling in the direction of arrogance, of intolerance, of selfish interests. They are still dealing with their animal desires. They are dealing with their material interests. And when all these things are pulling in all different directions, there is no progress. As a matter of fact, allow us to tell you that this is exactly why is it that people cannot materialize their thoughts. Because it is true, the great Buddha said, you know, you are what your thoughts are. You are a reflection of your thoughts. It's true, they said that. Lamentably, we are in such a degenerated state that right now, people cannot comprehend the profound meaning of those words. So they will look at videos and they will look at movies that speak about secrets and other things, and they start talking about set your thoughts in this direction and visualize this and do that. And you see people thinking that they're going to become millionaires and have this car and that house, blah, 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 all these things. Nothing ever happens. And then they say, well, evidently that doesn't work. Well, it's not just like that. Is that they are not aware of the multiplicity that they carry within. And when there are some egos of desires and self-importance and selfish interests and material interests that are thinking on all those things, there are hundreds of other egos that are opposed to those things. There are hundreds of other values that are opposed to those things. So they will be thinking, better life, get out of debt, new car, new this, new that. And there are other egos that are thinking, you're not deserving. You cannot possibly believe that it's going to happen. You cannot do that. What about this? What? So the collective of all that opposition, it effectively cancels out anything that the person tries to put out there. So this is why affirmations don't work. With one ego, you utter an affirmation and 15 other egos come around and they pull it back and negate it. So we cannot make any progress. This is why we're here dealing with a school of regeneration. So that we can effectively create an internal transformation. And we need to know ourselves. And for us to be able to know ourselves, we have to create a difference between the observer and that which is observed. For us to do that, we need to be looking at the thing itself. How can we claim that we know others when we don't even know ourselves? What kind of an expression in pride is that? In the self-consideration of superiority, that we know others better than what they know themselves when we don't even know ourselves. We have to start by developing the faculty of self-observation. That is a very weak muscle that we carry within. And the more we observe ourselves, the better our ability to hold and conduct self-observation. So let's start by understanding that the fact that we have listened to so many hours of lectures, that we have been in these studies for so many years, that we have made whatever progress we think that we have made, it is worth of not much until we assign to this work the value that this work deserves. It is not the same for us to say, yes, I know that I have these egos, than to truly observe the egos themselves. It is not the same to say, yes, I have this anger. Yes, I have this lust that I have to work on. Yes, that's very easy to do. Where we need to put the effort is in observing the anger, in observing the lust, in observing the greed and the envy. We have to start asking ourselves, this thing that I am feeling right now, what is it made of? We have to ask ourselves, this thing that I am experiencing right now that is leading me to think this way. What things are making this thing up? Because look around you and you will see that all things are made of non-things. When you look at a table, the table is the collective of non-table things. When you look at a chair, the chair is made of a collective of non-chair things. And you will see that there is fabric, and the fabric is not the chair. And you will see that there is a cushion, and the cushion is not the chair. And you will see that there may be metal, and the metal is not the chair. And you will see that there are screws and bolts and fasteners, and none of those things are chairs. You will see that there is plastic. Plastic is not the chair. But all of those things together make the chair itself. So things are made of not things. Can you see that? Can you see how the flower is made of non-flower things? How in that flower you can find the elements of air, water, earth, and fire? You can. The same thing happens to our physicality, and the same thing happens to our ego. Our ego is made of non-ego things. But we have to figure that out by observing. Because to think about our defects, that is not observation. To speak about our defects, that is not observation. To think that we know about our defects, that is certainly not observation. So we must find out what makes up this ego. What leads it to react? What external conditions and causes need to be present so that this thing manifests? What internal state needs to be present so that this thing manifests? What thoughts come with it? What emotions come with it? What habits? What physical manifestations come together with it? This is what we should start looking into. Because as we are in these studies, as we spend year after year hearing these lectures, reading the material, going deeper into material that is every time more and more profound and advanced in content, we start thinking that we are somehow superior. And that sensation of superiority is an obstacle to awakening. So if we think that we're superior, and in the meantime, we're still being intolerant, we're going to continue to criticize others. If we think that we are superior, but we're still criticizing others, we're not going to be able to see the problem in ourselves. We will be able to spot it in others. We will be able to call others and judge them and tell them what they need to do to get better. But we're not working in ourselves. So we're going to continue looking at other people. We're going to continue looking at our governmental leaders, at the people in our community, at our boss, our spouse, our children, and say, this person is so-and-so. This person is a thief. This person is a fornicator. This person is a liar. We're going to keep doing that. But what about us? Friends, we have to embrace an internal condition where we transition from one phase to another. It is hard to say this, but this is a fraction of that great truth. We have to be willing to leave everything behind for the esoteric work, and we must be radical, and we must be definitive. There are aspects of us that scream inside when we hear those words. But this is not stuff that I'm coming up with. This is what Samael tells us. He says, abandon all worldly things and dedicate to the esoteric work. He says, dear children, you have gone life after life, basking yourself in the animal pleasures of life. He says, you have rolled in the mud of fornication. You have been drunk. You have abused of the power of the creative word. We know very well ourselves that we have stolen ideas. We have hurt others with our words. We have been cruel. We have been cruel to ourselves, our children, our family. We have been cruel to the environment. We know these things. So he says, now that you've done all that, it's time to move past that. So he says, abandon all worldly things and dedicate to the esoteric work. How do we do that? We have to define ourselves. We have to decide what is it that we're going to do. Are we going to continue playing this part-time, or are we actually going to do it? Are we just going to dedicate 1, 2, or 3 hours a week just to listen to somebody say something, or are we going to do something about this? By now, You have enough experience, enough experiential knowledge in your hands to know how transformative is this work. Many of you have worked with elemental magic. Many of you have done internal work. Many of you are engaged in the practice of the super dynamics of love. Many of you have been practicing meditation. Many of you have been successful unfolding in your astral body consciously. So we have to really define ourselves and decide, are we really going to do this or not? When he says dedicate to the esoteric work, where does that even start? My friends, that means that for us to start this successfully, we have to be willing to see what is happening outside of us relevant to impressions. We have already learned how to transform the impressions, but we have to go beyond that. The whole purpose of learning how to transform the impression is so that we do not identify with the impression, so that we do not become fascinated, and that we don't fall deeper into the sleep of the consciousness. But once we do that, once that impression is transformed and it is still manifesting, and we are maintaining the remembrance of self, based on what is happening outside of us, we need to maintain a perfect internal or interior conduct. When somebody is insulting you, when somebody is telling you things that you don't like, that means that we are not holding on to a poker face because we're so sublime. We're holding on to a poker face. We're not just doing that. We have to maintain a face that projects serenity, because there has to be a serene interior aspect of us. Not because we're just forcing ourselves to carry a poker face. Whatever is happening outside, we have to be able to maintain a perfect interior conduct. So when somebody is observing you, is insulting you, and you are maintaining that self-observation and the remembrance of self, you have to make sure that internally you are not creating thoughts that will never come to see the day of light, but that they are nevertheless harmful to them and to you. If somebody is insulting you, you cannot be having an internal argument with the person, because that is not an interior perfect conduct. It is not. That means that if you come across an image that triggers a lustful impulse in you, that you're not going to start thinking, I cannot be lustful, I cannot be lustful, I cannot be lustful, because that is the same thing as running an affirmation. And there will be hundreds of aggregates of lust that are going to do their own thing, regardless of what you're thinking. So we need to maintain that remembrance of self. And as we do that, we need to maintain a perfect interior conduct. What does that mean? Not only we transform the impression, we invoke of superior powers to help us safeguard our creative power, our creative waters. Good example that Samael gives us. He says, if you are in the presence of those psychological aggregates of lust, he says, an Our Father prayer is very effective for you to fight that. So internally recite that prayer. Safeguard that sexual creative energy that you have. As you do that, you are stealing the fire out of those aggregates. You are making them weaker. Because the one thing that we have learned about the work that Samael is asking of us to do is to look at it a little different. And to realize that when he is saying that we must work to awaken the consciousness, he starts by saying that. He then says, We need to liberate the consciousness from the bottles, the traps that are the ego. But he also says, we need to rescue our soul. We need to rescue our consciousness that is trapped. And for us to rescue the consciousness, we need to practice heroic action. And heroic action means that we need to be willing to be there, willing to kiss the hand of the executioner. And that is difficult to do. Nobody is saying that it is easy. But it is not going to get any easier if you don't put it into practice. But people don't think like that. Many of us spend a lot of time fighting between our old ways of thinking and our old values and what the Gnostic work is asking of us to do. Many of us are trying to tailor gnosis to our beliefs and our desires and our fears and all of our considerations, and we end up creating something that is not gnosis. We end up dealing with something that is incoherent, that is amorphous, that really has no form and no foundation. You see, many of us would really like to work, but we don't give ourselves to the work. So what happens? We end up miserably wasting of our time. And because we want so many things to be so easy, well, we end up later on walking into many of these churches and many of these congregations, many of these groups, where the person that is standing in front of the audience is never even offering the doctrine of the Buddhist annihilation. They never tell you to change. They never tell you to observe yourself. They never tell you to eliminate those inhumane aspects of yours. They always tell you things will be better. In the future, things will change for you. Just have faith. Just be patient because you deserve better. This is what they tell you. They offer you the sublime happiness of heaven through payments. They give people a passport to heaven. And people like that. Because the ego has no interest in fighting itself. The ego does not like to be threatened. And on top of that, we are lazy. So of course people like a passport to heaven. Of course people prefer to not eat and just dump whatever money they have into someone else's bank account so that they can live with their jets and their fancy cars and all of this thing while they live in misery, because for them it is easier to live in misery than to actually do something about their internal condition. So friends, the time is here to define ourselves. The time is here for us to exercise transvaluation. And when Samael says that we have to live from instant to instant, that transvaluation needs to happen from moment to moment. It is the transvaluation. Am I going to spend my time on my mobile device? Or am I going to assign the necessary value to this moment so that I can truly observe the thoughts that are running through my mind? So that I can truly observe the emotional state that I am experiencing? That is what that means. We need to go into an exercise of transvaluation. And the homework for us is that we need to sit comfortably in our chair. And we need to be willing to go back and look into our day. And we need to start seeing the many instances and opportunities where we had a chance to assign to that moment the right value, and we didn't. And tomorrow, we need to repeat that same exercise. And we know for a fact that nature does not take leaps. We know that this is not something that is going to be resolved and fixed overnight. But as we start developing the faculty of self-observation, we then start seeing our internal reactions. Reactions at the level of the mind, at the level of the emotion, at the level of our habits, our instinct, our sexuality. And the more we observe, the stronger the faculty of self-observation becomes. The more we observe, the more value we start finding in every moment. The more value we start finding in every moment, the better and stronger we become internally. Because not only that fraction of consciousness that is awakened in us, whether it is 1 or 2 or 3%, it starts becoming more agile, more capable. We start controlling better our internal conduct. And then, as we start facing difficult circumstances on the outside, we become better and better at holding a perfect conduct on the inside. And as we're doing that, we start embarking ourselves in a true internal transformation. And this starts with defining ourselves. So in our exercise, let's walk through a quick, easy, effective relaxation of the body. Let's work with a retrospective exercise. And as you involve and you go deeper into your retrospection for the day, we will all continue the exercise and we will fade away in the background. But you continue your practice. And as we do that, we will then see you again next week. So let's go ahead and sit down comfortably. Put your feet flat on the floor. If you have a computer screen before you, by all means, cover it with a towel so that that light is not disrupting your practice at this time of the night. And closing our eyes, let's take a deep breath in 1, 2. 1, 2. Let's allow our breathing to return to its natural flow. As we breathe with every exhalation, make an effort so that the flow of that air in and out of your nose, that it becomes silent. Make the exercise so gentle that you can no longer hear your breathing, but nevertheless keep the breathing going. And let's rely on our tried and true practice, which is the practice of the knowns. So visualizing that our body is populated by an infinite amount of little knowns, let them walk out of your body one by one. And if you're sitting down with your feet flat on the floor, see them walking out of your body out through your toes. See them walking out, the soles of your feet, into the ground. And as you see that, you will notice that There is a state of relaxation and calmness that inundates your feet and your ankles, and that it propagates immediately into your calves. Continue observing those little gnomes and feel that relaxation extending throughout all of your thigh. Your left one and your right one, and feel that relaxation reaching your buttocks, your creative organs, and your abdomen. And as you continue to exhale, it is okay with every exhalation for you to allow your body is to become more relaxed and allow it to sink deeper into the chair, deeper into that sofa. But do it in a way where you do not identify with the comfort. Do it in a way where you are gratitude for the comfort. You are grateful for this new opportunity. We continue breathing, and as those little gnomes continue walking out the soles of our feet, we relax our internal organs, and we relax our stomach, our lungs, and we even relax our heart. We seek such a deep and profound state of relaxation that every time we reach new levels with our resting heart rate, as we continue to breathe in through the nose, out through the nose, with every breath, we allow any tension to just be carried away. In every exhalation, we continue to see those little gnomes walking out the soles of our feet, and the relaxation reaching our shoulders, cascading down into our elbows and our wrists and our hands and out through our fingers. We relax the muscles around our jaw, our lips, our tongue. Relax your nose, your eyes. Relax your ears, the muscles in your forehead. Relax your scalp all the way up to the crown of your head. And we enjoy of this relaxation in gratitude and in gratefulness. For this exercise, that we would benefit so much from the help of our innermost. Let's chant the mantra that will allow us to unite with our real being. That is the mantra expander. We will start by chanting that mantra, making use of our spoken word. But as the exercise progresses, we will transition into our silent word. We will chant that mantra with the power and within the power of the mind. And together we may say, Father of mine, God of mine, you who are my true being, you who are my internal God, we ask of you, we beg of you with our soul and our heart, that you guide us through the exercise of retrospection. We ask that you give us the necessary objective imagination so that we can see all of those events with perfect clarity within the screen of our mind. We ask for your intuition to know which events are the ones that we should truly focus initially in this work so that we can make the most meaningful and significant progress. We ask of your inspiration that you awaken in us the faculty of inspiration so we can grasp the profound significance of the events that surround us, of the causes and the conditions in which we are immersed today. And most of us, we ask that you help us strengthen our faculty of self-observation. Give us the strength and the direction so that we can practice transvaluation from moment to moment, not as a single exercise this week that can be forgotten forever, but a transvaluation that happens from instant to instant, from moment to moment, from circumstance to circumstance, and from impression to impression. So let's start by chanting the mantra Pandir. As we work with this mantra, you will know at which moment to start your retrospection. You will know at which moment those meaningful instances, circumstances come up and show up. You will have the opportunity to see how you can assign value to each one of those moments and strengthen your faculty of self-observation. So you are chanting this mantra, use your objective imagination to see that there is a very subtle manifestation of a blue light that emanates from within the temple of your heart. It is a light that projects from your heart and surrounds your physicality. As you continue to chant this mantra, allow that subtle light to gently expand and be inclusive of your home, every room, every crevice. Allow of that light to expand outside of your home into the homes of your neighbors and across the street, to be inclusive of your community, of your neighborhood, of your city, of your state. And allow that light to surround the world. And allow that light to project upwards. Upwards into the heavens. Upwards across the dimensions. upwards to the realm of the innermost. Allow that light to receive and penetrate into the realm of the human soul, the spiritual soul, and our being. Continue chanting this mantra harmoniously with your breathing, synchronized with every exhalation, consistently observing the source of the light that is our spirit. In direct connection with our consciousness. And we do not give a moment to any fantasy, but only our objective imagination. Divine Father, guide us through this exercise. Help us strengthen our faculty of self-observation. Go into your retrospection. Observe all those opportunities in the day where we fail to assign the right value. Opportunities we missed today to exercise transvaluation. For each one of them, what was our emotional state? What sentiments were present at that moment? What were our thoughts? What external conditions were present? You are empowered to continue with a very successful exercise. Continue with your retrospection, and may all beings be happy.